You're listening to myspiritradio.com. Join the community, get involved, and share the wisdom. Soul Adventures with Barbara Michael Johnfrey, exploring mystical traditions from around the world.
Well, I'm very pleased to introduce Sean. Now, Sean and Christian are amazing people. I met them a couple of years ago, and they have a wonderful festival here in Salem called the Festival of the Dead. And who better than to explain what all the magnificent work that they're doing over here in Salem, but, of course, Sean himself. So I'll hand you over to Sean.
Thank you, Barbara.
Hello, this is Sean.
Sean, welcome to My Spirit Radio. Thank you for joining us on this program.
You're very welcome, thank you.
Now tell us a little bit about witchcraft in Salem. How long have you been a witch yourself?
I'm a hereditary witch or a bloodline witch from both sides of the family. So I've been a witch my entire life. And how do people become a witch? Either they're born into a witching family or you do a lot of studying, a lot of practice in the occult arts.
When you were young, I mean, things were very different a number of years ago. I know you're not very old now, Sean, but
you
know, things have changed enormously in the last 10 to 15 years. You must have noticed this.
To be a witch, you first and foremost have to be magical. And what is magical? It's that talent of weaving magic. So Salem has changed greatly, as you said, in the past 11 years. It's become a much more of a cult melting pot where witchcraft can wear many masks and faces, shall we say.
Well, the word occult implies a very hidden tradition. I mean, occult itself means
right.
Hidden. How do you blend the idea that you've got a hidden mystery tradition with something that's very out in the open for people to see?
Well, isn't the best way of hiding something is putting it right out in plain view?
Yes, I have heard that.
So Christian and I have kind of taken these... When Haunted Happenings was fading, and that was the former old festival, when it was fading and Salem became, you know, corn stalks and puppy dog shows and little kid tent meetings where they would play on jungle gyms, Christian and I decided that Salem needed to be shaken up, that we had to keep the witch city, and that no one comes here for maritime. So that's exactly what we did, as we said, we're going to bring Festival of the Dead back, which is all the arcane, all the mysterious, all the unknown arts of magic, necromancy, and sorcery, and we're going to put it in plain view in a fun manner where people can kind of safely dabble with it without, you know, exploding themselves. Why Christian and I have brought some of the maybe more darker, which doesn't mean evil, it just means mysterious.
Mm.
One of the more darker elements back to October is because here in Salem, anyone who wears a calfskin tattoos their face can get attention. Anyone who wears eyeliner can wear attention. And any schlemiel that walks around in a black robe can suddenly say they're religious, become a witch, and desecrate the very magic that a witchcraft represents.
Mm. So do you feel that anybody could become a witch if they wanted to?
I feel, no. Anyone can become Wiccan because Wiccan is a religion.
Mm.
Few are born with the powers of magic and witchcraft, but all can be trained.
Mm.
And Barbara right now is nodding, shaking her head, yes.
Yeah.
But to be a witch, it's like being a painter, say.
Yeah.
I mean, if you took up a paintbrush and you went to art school, you might be able to paint a beautiful tree. If I went to, you know, if I had no art education and I took up a paintbrush, it may look like a six-year-old's finger painting. But if Membrandt takes up that paintbrush, that's going to be a masterpiece.
Mm.
Magic is very similar. Anyone can be Wiccan, and it is a beautiful, earth-centered religion that gives me a lot of solace in this crazy world sometimes.
Yes, certainly over here there seems to be a differentiation between the art of witchcraft, which is the practice of the magical arts, and being a Wiccan initiate, which is an initiate in a mystery tradition. There's a very clear distinction
here
in England about that.
There is a clear distinction between being a witch and a Wiccan.
Yeah.
Wiccans, you know, and I'm not going to, like I say, it's kind of and kind of not my path. The jury's out on that, no pun intended. But I feel being a bloodborne and hereditary witch, and fortunately possessing magic and the magical, you know, ability, the sight, as they say in the old days, that being a witch, no one has to make you; you are born.
Mm.
And in the initiatory path of Wicca, for the most part, Wicca attracts the either very strong in magic that are powerful, or it attracts the 12-step program people.
Yeah.
You either get very strong.
Is that Christian laughing in the background?
Yes,
I can hear
I'm
someone
just walking out of the
there.
Room because he shouldn't have laughed like that, because 12-step people need help, and if it works, then they should do it.
Well, at least it's offering a variety of opportunities here for different kinds of people, which is phenomenal
right.
by itself.
But the initiatory system of Wicca is, you know, I don't need anyone telling me, you know, what candle to put on what salt.
Where do you see witchcraft evolving from today? Where do you see witchcraft's future?
From what I can see, the evolution of witchcraft is going more towards the mystery schools without the dogma of initiation and ritual. It's personal magic. Honestly, you're going to laugh at me. I don't know how this is going to go over, but see, you ask for my opinions, you're going to get it. I think the direction of witchcraft is going to go pretty much... the way Harry Potter's books write about it.
Yeah, you don't see it needing to go underground again, because, I mean, it has been underground for
a long time.
Oh, please,
with the ferocity of our people.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in the burning times, people were afraid to stand up, and it was a different day, it was a different age, it was a terrible time of fire.
Sean, we've run out of time, I'm afraid. Thank you for joining us on this program.
You're very welcome.
We'll have a quick chat with Christian now, who's also another Salem witch. Thank you for joining us, Christian. Do tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're an elder of Salem's Coven of the Raven Moon. Tell us a bit about this coven and how it works.
Well, our coven is like our magical core. That's like the root of our closest inner circle of people. You know, in the old days, I think that witchcraft was more of a solitary path. You know, the further back in history I've looked. And I feel as though the coven kind of came about when the burning times, you know, we were persecuted. We had to band together in secret almost to protect one another. You know, and I feel like that's still in place today because, you know, our group is like a magical family. It's our closest people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Perfect love and trust only exist in fairy tales. So, you know, you're never going to have perfect relationships, but you have your core family. Those are the people that would fight for you, protect you, feed you, clothe you, you know, hug you. People that will give you that emotional sustenance. And that's our coven. And our coven is based in magic, you know, first and foremost. I mean, we do some of the Wiccan things, you know, because that's what's out there now, you know. So we certainly embrace, you know, and that was part of my background. I mean, I was actually raised sort of pseudo-Catholic, if you will. My mother was a hippie from the 60s who was all about be here now, so I never had to go to church, but I made my communion when I was 15, and the nuns told me that animals didn't have souls, and I told her she was wrong, and that was the end of my Catholic experience. And so I met Sean in about 1989, and we absolutely hated each other. You know, I was very idealistic. You know, and then I went and I got my political science degree. But, you know, I think in the beginning, you know, he was always a free spirit, and I was kind of very rigid at the time. And I worked for a psychic fair in 1995, and I had such a great time. And ever since then, I've been part of the coven. And we don't look at it like, I mean, he's the high priest of his coven, but he's, you know, he and I are more like spiritual brothers.
Mm.
You know, he's not my high priest. I'm part of his coven. I work with them. But each of us has our own autonomy. I mean, I like to describe witchcraft in Salem particularly as kind of like the super friends. You know, mm. Everyone brings their own special gift. You know, one might be a healer, one might be a medium, one might be, you know, a very good with divination. You know, and I think that that's a good coven will have those balances. But more importantly than anything, it's about family. You know, these are people, I mean, I've been with this coven now for 11 years. And these are people that protect one another. You know, and Sean, in my case, we go into business together. You know, we find ways of reaching out to the community and working, you know, in the community. And so, for my role, you know, Sean and I play very different roles. I think what makes the super friends so great is that each of them has their own power. And I don't know if they had that cartoon over in England, but, you know, with Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. But each of them had their own skill that came to the forefront when it was important for that skill to be used. And I think why that speaks to me so much is that, you know, Sean and I play to our strengths. He's much more the magician. He's much more the right brain, the mystic, the medium, the psychic. You know, I'm also a professional psychic. I work as a psychic. I'm more left brain. I'm more businesslike. I'm more political. You know, so my role that I play in the city, you know, I work with the mayor. I work with the city council. I'm rewriting the psychic ordinance here in Salem. You know, we go to political fundraisers. I drag Sean along. You know, I kind of...
How important is it to you, or is it not important, Christian, for witchcraft to become publicly acceptable?
It's very important because, I mean, especially here. I mean, the harsh reality is, and this city's been criticized for it ever since, you know, Laurie Cabot first came to town and modern witchcraft came to Salem. This city has been criticized by Wiccans and witches and pagans around the world for being so visible. But the reality is, you know, speaking as a person who, you know, writes press releases, worked with the media a lot, the media is going to look to Salem because it's just the natural place to look. It's the word Salem. It's the witch city. You know, it's been called the witch city longer than, you know, Wicca has been a public religion since 1892,
yes. Yeah.
When the Daniel O. Department Store first started making little silver witch spoons. You know, so we're the place the media is going to look to see what a witch is.
Mm.
And I think it's very important to present a public face because this is a place where 19 people were hanged and one person was crushed under rocks as witches. And, you know, there was a hysteria here that was famous all around the world that studied in every grammar in high school and college. And so I feel that to say now, here we have a city that witches work with the mayor, we work with the city council, we work with all the, you know, non-witch business owners. You know, I designed an ad campaign that's been running in several publications around New England that 40 businesses in Salem, witch and non-witch alike, have participated in. I feel it's so important for witches to sort of to socialize themselves into their community. For far too long, witches and Wiccans and pagans alike have had this very defensive stance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ren Walker and Fritz Young from The Witch's Voice once said to me, "We do not anticipate prejudice, and therefore we don't experience it." And that was about 10 years ago, and it really stuck with me because I really feel like that's been my attitude. You know, I'm both gay and I'm a witch, and
mm-hmm.
I don't really get prejudice, very rarely, because mm-hmm. I feel if you have an attitude that says you really believe in what you do, and that means something to you, and that's your heart and soul, and it's not just something you throw on for attention, then it will shine through to people.
Mm,
it becomes real to them as it is to you. And, they, you know, I mean, we have the respect of Christian ministers. You know, Jesus wants us chairs. We have 25 chairs in our psychic fair that were lent to us by a born-again Christian church that's very right-wing. You know, they are political conservatives, young earth creationists. You know, you'd think they'd hate us. They lent us chairs. I'm going to meet with this pastor in November, and I'm going to help him design some flyers and come up with marketing ideas. Because you know something, it's about community. And working with your community means working with all of your community. It means building bridges. For far too long, witches have been, you know, hiding in these shadows, angry at everyone, fearful of Christian persecution. And while we realize that that still happens, you have to build those bridges. And Christianity didn't invent witch persecution. The Romans and Greeks persecuted us too in paganism. I mean, that we have always been feared, not because we were evil, but because of what we could do. You know,
mm-hmm.
witches were people with powers. They could communicate with the dead. They could raise storms. They could cast spells. They could heal the sick. And that has always been a power that has been met with a mix of fear and respect. And so in any culture where we've appeared, there's always been that mix. It isn't something that came with Christianity. We need to let go of that fear and own who we are.
Christian, it's been fascinating talking to you. We've run out of time, I'm afraid, but thank you ever so much for spending the time to talk. So I know you and Sean are terribly busy today with the Festival of the Dead, and good luck. I hope it goes well. Happy Halloween to you all.
Oh, happy Halloween to you too.
Thank you for joining us, Christian.
You're listening to MySpiritRadio.com. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Swedish proverb.
Hi, I'm Eamon Brooks. Join me on the Earth Spirit program here on My Spirit Radio, where we discuss the many manifestations of the Earth spirits, from ancient sites to geopathic stress. And on the program, we talk to the people in the know, those people who work daily with the Earth Spirit and its manifestations. And you can get involved too with your views, experiences, and questions. The Earth Spirit program with me, Eamon Brooks, here on My Spirit Radio.